Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Life Community Church. As Mark said earlier, over the past 6 weeks, we've been studying the movement of the Spirit. It's been a wonderful study. We completed it last week with our 3 years of ministry for Life Community Church. We also had wonderful testimonies by some very great men in our church, some men that are really developing and growing into spiritually, and we're so proud of them. We also had many people over the course of the 6 weeks come to know Christ and get baptized, and we are very grateful for the movement of the Spirit in our church. Over the course of the last several weeks, there's been a couple of verses that have really stood out to me that I keep returning to every week whenever we meet up as a life group. That's 1 Corinthians 2:14 through 3:2, and that's what we're going to discuss today. It starts off here in 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the unbeliever does not welcome what comes from God's Spirit, because it is foolishness to him. He is not able to understand it, since it is evaluated spiritually. The spiritual person, however, can evaluate everything, yet he himself cannot be evaluated by anyone. For who has known the Lord's mind, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Brothers, I was not able to speak to you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as babes in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, because you were not yet ready for it. In fact, you are still not ready. Today we're going to be looking at Paul's letter to Corinth. As Paul is writing this, if you go back and check out the whole letter to Corinth, there's a big problem with the people there. Basically, those people are having an identity crisis. They have received God, but they're caught up in their own identity, the identity of the world around them. How many of us here today have had our own identity crisis? I know I have. I've had several. And I'm sure if you ask my lovely wife, she would be happy to show you pictures of braided hair, frosted hair, baggy jeans. You name it, I tried it. I spent a lot of time and energy and effort to craft my own identity. But the simple fact was, is that wasn't who I really was inside. See, the problem with fads and creating your own identity is that things change. People around you change, the fashion changes, the hairstyles change, and you have to continue to create a new identity to keep up with it. Did you know that God also identifies us? God identifies us in one of three ways. There's three categories, and all three categories involve the Spirit or lack thereof. And that's what we're going to look at today. The main question I have for everyone as we start in today is, how are you doing spiritually? And if you would, go back to 2:14 for me there, Tanner. And this is the first category that we fit into. And as you can see, Paul uses the word unbeliever. Now, we're all familiar with that. It describes somebody with a lack of salvation. They haven't accepted Jesus Christ. This type of person has been born naturally, as we all are, but they have not experienced that supernatural birth, that indwelling of the Spirit that all Christians experience. The things that come from God can only be understood if you have accepted salvation. They're spiritual. So if you don't have the Spirit, then you're not going to be able to understand them. And the unbeliever is not going to be able to evaluate that stuff. So here, like I said earlier, most of us are very familiar with the word unbeliever. But if we go back and do some Bible study, and you look up that word, it actually has a further meaning. We're very familiar with it as being an unsaved person. But the actual definition of that is an individual who is solely reliant on their logic. solely relying on their own logic and on the physical assets of the world. They don't understand anything deeper. How many of us here today live our lives on a daily basis relying on our own logic? How many times do we in a day evaluate things from a physical aspect or a logical aspect? From the time we are born, we are all trained to look at the world physically, to identify with it logically. We stand behind our logic each and every day. We find our fulfillment in our jobs and the other physical aspects of life. That's what we rely on. We cultivate our own identities, much like I did with weird hairstyles. We put on masks socially. We want to fit in, right? We all want to fit in with the world around us, so we're trying to find a group that we can fit in. So we cultivate masks so that nobody actually knows who we are. We develop our personalities to fit into certain aspects, our church personality, our work personality, school personality, and we all try to fit into those social circles a little bit differently. There is a problem with that, though. When you hide your insecurities and you hide your true identity behind a mask, what happens when that mask cracks? What happens whenever you're exposed and your weaknesses are available for the whole world to see? Where do you turn to? Where do you go? Suddenly the logical makes no sense. Suddenly there's nowhere to hide. At some point in our life, we're all going to face these type of situations. If it hasn't happened yet, it will. Death of a family member. Illogical most of the time. Sometimes it's sudden. Sometimes it hits us. Illness. Personal illness. Illness of a family member. Maybe your job and the things that you've spent time creating in life have fallen apart. Things are coming apart at the seams. And how does any of that stuff make sense? Where do we go from there? Well, the unbeliever doesn't know where to go. They don't understand spiritual things, so they don't have anybody to pray to. They can try, but if they really don't know God, God's not going to answer. The simple fact is when we get knocked down and we can't get back up, who do we rely on to pick us up? Everything in this world is temporary, including friends, family, and including ourselves. So, how do we identify ourselves? Do we continue to wear the mask? Do we continue to be somebody we're not? Everyone is born an unbeliever. But God never intended us for us to stay that way. Okay, we are called to be more than natural. We are called to be supernatural. We are called to have the indwelling of that Holy Spirit. That supernatural birth can only be obtained from the Holy Spirit. He's the one that comes and lives inside of us and changes us. The fact of the matter is if you're an unbeliever today and you want to change your identity, you first have to drop that identity and walk to the identity of Jesus Christ himself. The second category that we can fall into is going to be in 1 Corinthians 2:15, 16. The spiritual person, however, can evaluate everything, yet he himself cannot be evaluated by anyone. For who has known the Lord's mind that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This verse was actually a little bit difficult for me starting off, to be honest with you. But as we said earlier, a spiritual person evaluates the world around him, everything, through the Holy Spirit. Okay? There's something inside that voice that's calling to them, that tells them whether something is good or bad, whether they should go that way or shouldn't go that way. that Spirit also speaks to us as individuals. We all have our own calling. And that calling is specifically for us. So the Spirit speaks to you individually about what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to do it. We can actually recognize that calling through Scripture. God will never tell you anything that goes against His Word. Everything that we do in life as spiritual people can be discerned through the Word of God. That's why it's imperative that we study the Word of God, so that we can evaluate the world around us. When we become spiritual, our minds and our hearts actually begin to reflect the love and person of Jesus Christ. We are a new creation. We are not the same person anymore. All of our thoughts, our actions, our energies aren't wasted on hairstyles, fashion accessories, which social circles we fit in. They all go towards Jesus and His work, what He would have us do. And I find this actually kind of funny, and I'm going to admit today that 3 years ago when this church started and I first came here, I was as unspiritual as they can come, I'm telling you. I got saved late in my teen years at Buck Creek Baptist, our mother church. But I didn't live like a spiritual person. I lived completely the opposite. My mind stayed focused on worldly events, worldly things, how much money I made, what kind of job I had, what kind of house I lived in. I stayed with that focus. So the first year here, I actually struggled quite a bit, because anybody that knows Kenny and Taryn knows that this church just started as a plant. And anybody that knows Kenny and Taryn well knows that they left an established church, financially secure, had a home, you know, had guaranteed jobs, a guaranteed paycheck, and that made absolutely no sense to me whatsoever. It really didn't. And to be honest, the first year, I can tell you, I love both of them, but my thoughts were, dude's crazy. I'm telling you, the dude is crazy, and she followed him. Now, apparently, I don't think that way anymore. I love them both, and I really understood what they did, and I'm grateful for them. All the faces here today reflect the sacrifices they've made and the faith that they've taken to start this church. But think about that, though. Think about that today. Are we spiritually minded? Or are we focused on our careers? Are we focused on what kind of house we live in? Are we focused on how much income we're making, how we dress? Are we thinking about the stuff that's important to God? The stuff and the work of Jesus Christ, are we thinking about that, or are we thinking about ourselves? Spiritually minded people don't think that way. And it can be confusing. Because to us, worldly things are important. And I'll admit, I still struggle with certain things. There's a whole lot of things that I still struggle with. And I'm constantly trying to battle my own personal sins. But spiritually minded people follow their call. Kenny and Taryn had a call. It was on their heart. They followed their call. And their call to be faithful to God has affected the lives of 200 plus people. Has affected the spiritual maturity of 200 plus people. Now, Kenny and Taryn obviously still makes mistakes, Kenny especially. Taryn has to correct him, I know. And they still struggle with sin. But I can honestly say today that I understand why they did what they did. I didn't when I first came here. It took growth. It took me growing spiritually to understand how they can give up so much to follow a call. But in order to truly fulfill the calling of this church, to connect, to care, to change the entire community, we have to have spiritually mature people. We have to grow. Spiritual decisions are not based on worldly logic. They're not based on our physical needs. To become spiritual, we must develop and reflect the mind of Christ. And if we do that, we can change this community. We can change the things that are going on in our community. We can make a difference. We can be better people. So are you spiritual today? And our last and final category comes in 1 Corinthians 3, 1 and 2. Brothers, I was not able to speak to you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as babes in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, because you were not yet ready for it. In fact, you are still not ready. When Paul first came to Corinth, as you read the book, he spent 18 months teaching the people the basic building blocks of faith. He couldn't discuss the advanced topics or the meat with the people because they weren't ready. They weren't mature enough. They couldn't understand the true meat of the gospel. So he started with the building blocks, the milk. He started small. And as we can see in Paul's letter, they're still not ready. There was an expectation for them when he's writing to have grown spiritually, to have advanced, not continuing to just have the milk of the gospel. Sadly, at the time he's writing, the people are still immature. They still haven't grown. They're still not reflecting Christ. And looking at these verses, I actually thought about my daughter. My daughter just started kindergarten this year. Some of you have been in my house recently, and there's like words taped all over the house. I mean, there's a I'm, in, come, you know, me, mine. She's learning words, so they're everywhere. So if you ever happen to be over, that's what they are, so I don't have to explain it again. But when she goes to school, they start off with the basics, the milk. You learn your ABCs. You learn your 1-2-3s. And you take those, and they build on them. You take your ABCs, and you learn words. Learn how to read. Learn how to spell. You take your numbers. You learn how to add, subtract, how to count. And these are all important. But what would happen if Avery decided to quit trying? What would happen if she says, it's good enough, I'm done? Well, more than likely, she's going to fail. That's not going to look good on our education system, but it's not their fault. It's Avery's fault. And it's me and Nikki's fault for not pushing her to work harder, to try harder. And if you've ever been in my house when she comes home from school, you got to push. Because she's kind of stubborn. She takes after me, I believe. But this is what's happening in Corinth. This is why Paul's writing. They were saved. They do have salvation. They have the Spirit, but they're not listening. How many of you were in the life groups and heard of quenching the Spirit? When we sin, whenever we refuse to study, whenever we refuse to follow the direction of the Spirit, we quench it. And we're left as immature people. And just as Avery would fail, the people in Corinth are failing. They're not portraying God at all. The people had hindered the movement of the Holy Spirit. And then so, the people around the church of Corinth weren't being changed. They weren't seeing a reflection of Christ. And this verse in particular, these two verses actually hit me pretty hard last week. I'm going to be honest. Because I was so unspiritual for so long. I was immature. But he talked last week about the churches in Owensboro dying. And in fact, they are. There are several of them that are. But it's a bigger problem. The churches all around the United States are dying today. We can't blame God. We can't blame attendance. If we want to figure out where the blame is, I'm sorry to say, we have to look in the mirror today. We are the reflection of Life Community Church. Just as all the other members of churches in Owensboro and all across the United States are reflections of their churches. If we're not reflecting God, why would people come through the door? There's a whole lost world out there. And if we're to look in the mirror today and we see ourselves as unspiritual people, what kind of identity is that? We've gotten salvation, but we're not willing to put the work in. We're not willing to go out and witness to the community. We all actually start our spiritual journey as immature Christians. We do. So if you were just recently saved, don't take it personally. I'm not trying to offend anybody. But if you were like me, and you're sitting here today, and your identity still reflects the world whenever you're at work, your identity still reflects the world whenever you're dealing with people in the public, and if your identity is anything but reflecting Christ, you are failing today. We have to put time into studying the Word of God. And I know, whenever I first started, I struggled with the Bible. Okay, the wording is sometimes a little crazy for me. But you have to go a little bit deeper than that. Okay, there's a ton of websites that we can look on to actually study the Bible. There's multiple translations. We are the luckiest country in the world. Okay, we are lucky to have a full Bible because some countries don't have it. But you have to devote your time to study. When Kenny sits and talks to us about quiet time, about prayer, about studying the Word each and every day, he's not doing that just to give us something to do. That's how we grow spiritually. If you want the Spirit to speak to you, if you want your calling from God, you have to spend time with God. And like I said, as a church, if we want the people on the outside to come in to experience the gifts that we've gotten, the love that we can share with our community, it has to be done out there. We live in a lost world. People don't come to the church anymore to seek anything. We live in a very worldly environment. So we have to be able to reflect Christ at work, at home, at social events and out in public. It's important. It's a necessity. And the only way we can do that is by spending time with God. As we prepare to close today, I just want to let everybody know we all came through the front door today with an identity. And I know what my identity is. I don't know what yours is, but I know what mine is. But God isn't concerned with anything but your spiritual identity. He doesn't care today what you wore, what social circles you hang out in, or what you look like. He doesn't care about your race. He doesn't care about your political views. God cares about your spirit. Okay, He cares about your soul. He cares so much that He came to us in the flesh as Jesus Christ. Went to Calvary, suffered, died, just to cleanse us. He came to identify with us so that we can in turn identify with Him. So, again, as we close today, I don't know what identity you came in the door with today. If you're an unbeliever and you think all this is foolishness, if you don't understand the words of God, if you need somebody to pick you up today, the altar is going to be open for you. Because we all need somebody to lift us up sometimes. If you're a spiritual person struggling with your calling, God's here today. Just open your heart to Him. If you're an immature Christian and you need to grow, you need prayer, please come today.